you've tried everything else, for goodness sake, I challenge you to try Jesus by faith. There's people that find the doctors and the lawyers and the chiropractors and the psychiatrists, and if you wonder where your psychiatrist is this week, he's probably out seeing his psychiatrist. Even man himself needs help. Hallelujah. If you want to go to the doctor, you have my permission. After you try Jesus first. If he can't do nothing for you, then go to all the doctors in Louisiana. But if you try him first, I promise you, he'll do something that will save you many a dollar and many a pain and many an incision and many an hour of convalescing. Poor folks cannot afford to go to hospital when the doctor gets through cutting you up and taking half your organ. And you only get half of them left, which causes you to live only half your life. Spending that half of your life paying back the doctor. The charity. Hallelujah. When he's all through cutting on you, he'll say, "Hey friend, I did everything I can to you. Now healing is up to God." That's what they say. If healing's up to God, then get to God in the first place. And give him half a chance. Just give him a half a chance. He will do something. Amen. And when the doctor's through and passes, sticks out his hand and says, $40,000, please, he don't even get red in the face. He's been to school 12 years. He's going to get it back somehow, even if it means getting it out of somebody's eyes. Yes. However, poor folks cannot really afford to go there. Now, the rich can have lots of medical attention, but there are folks here tonight that are poor people, and they would be in debt for the rest of the days if they fell into the hand of man. But David said, "I don't want to fall into the hand of man, but let me fall into the hand of God, for his mercies are great." Didn't David say that? Now, I love the doctors, and I know they have a special place. And don't worry, none of them will go out of business by this crusade. For every person that gets healed here tonight, 10,000 will check into hospital somewhere in Louisiana tomorrow. Isn't that true? It's a sick society. The yellow pages in your phone book has more physicians than any other profession. Because it's a sick society. And everybody got to have his own doctor, you see. Maybe three or four of them. But every doctor has a license up over his desk that says Dr. So-and-so has a license to practice medicine in the state of Louisiana. And if you want somebody practicing on you, go ahead. But the one that lays hands on me does not have to practice. He knows what he's doing without practicing. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a stack of magazines that high in his office. He knows you will not have read through the last one before he finally gets a chance to look at you. Then it's a whole day at the office, it's a whole week in the hospital, a whole month home in bed, a whole year off from work. I think you're getting the best deal tonight by letting Jesus lay holy hands upon holy heads. Hallelujah. Lord, I love him. I better stop talking about the doctor and read you scripture tonight, okay? 2 Chronicles. I want to go to the Old Testament tonight and give you 4 verses, one each from 4 successive chapters. From then we'll see what God's going to do here. To start with, we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We are referring and looking at 4 generations of kings. The Bible teaches us that God will visit the iniquities of the fathers onto the 3rd and the 4th generation. Is that true? Oh, how we need to repent. We are even involving our own offspring. We're warping the kids. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16, I'll read the last sentence of verse 15, and I'll help you understand. The first king's name was Uzziah, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Jump to the next chapter, 27, verse 2. His son, King Jotham, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Next chapter, 28, and verse 24. Ahaz, the son of Jotham, now gathered together the vessels of the house of God, and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made altars in every corner of Jerusalem. Chapter 29, the last verse, verse 3. Hezekiah, fourth generation, great grandson of Uzziah. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. I thank you now for the reading of the word, O Lord. Let it be rich and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierce now to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and be a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of every heart. I thank you for answers that are arriving by the moment. If we have to preach only between these miracles, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. We thank you now for the victory. Let it be the word be a powerful two-edged sword. Pierce the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Seated you may be. Glory to God. I'm going to ask this brother here to untangle my cord before I get started. I've got some tangles there, and I appreciate getting loose from it. Hallelujah. Uzziah was a mighty king over Judah. Uzziah was a king that, Judah was just about all there was left. Israel had gone into captivity because of their sins, was dispersed across the world and never been seen since. Until, of course, around 1948 A.D. They're on their way back, and Jesus, in fact, is on his way back. Hallelujah. But there was just Judah, and God didn't want anything to happen to Judah, but yet the kingly line had their ups and downs. Uzziah, however, was the longest king to sit upon Judah's throne, and he reigned for 52 years, and that's a long time. And what man among you desireth life and love of many days? Keep your lips from evil and your tongue from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Now the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, willing to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. The eyes are of the Lord run to and fro in the whole wide world. Amen. And they are even now looking upon this congregation. My, that's a burning lamp before the throne of God that had seven eyes. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, or even at First Pentecostal. Do you believe God knows everything about you? He sees everything. He knows the hairs on your head. Do you know how many hairs is on your head? Well, I rest my case. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. Sister told me one time that, well, the first six things you prayed for me for, I understood that perfectly, but that seventh one, I wasn't sure, so I rejected the first six. I said, little sister, the first six were fact. F-A-C-T. A fact. You knew it, your doctor knew it, your friends knew it, everybody in your family knew it. There was no faith involved in that. It was just a plain out fact. I said, God was testing your faith on the unknown, for faith has to do with before the fact and deals with the unknown. The walls of Jericho did not fall, and then the children of Israel shouted. They had to shout them down. If you don't shout, there'll be no walls upon them. I know some of you want God to prove it to you so you can believe. God says, believe and then I prove it to you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By the elders obtain a good report. Faith reaches out until something that is not there materializes. Oh, I'm hoping. Nothing there, but I'm hoping. Suddenly, here it is, it's evidence.
Hallelujah.
The substance of things, hope, evidence of things I see, I don't see a thing. But I keep believing, here's the evidence, right there in my hand. The word of faith hauls and pulls and plucks out of the supernatural realm something that forms in the natural realm. Hallelujah. Well, I love him because he first loved me. Ah, thank God. Uzziah was on the throne now 52 years. I mean, nobody ruled in Judah any longer than he did, and certainly he got everything there was to do. Why, he was into botany, he was into zoology. The scripture said he was an inventor. He invented engines long before Henry Ford. Hallelujah. He invented all manner of things. There was nothing he hadn't dabbled in. And you know, the idle mind's the devil's play job. You sit around all that extra time on your hands, sitting on Judah's throne for 52 years and done everything there is to do, pretty soon you're going to get bored. You ever heard tell of board members? Say amen. Well, he decides to do something he'd never done before, the last thing possibly there was to do in Judah and in Jerusalem, and that was play priest. But you don't play at this ministry. Paul said, no man takes it upon himself, but he that is called of God. Someone said, how do I know who's calling God? Well, if you're a poor discerner of spirits, then be a good fruit inspector. You don't get pieces off a pear tree. I mean, if somebody has a particular ministry, then they will have success in that ministry. And if they do, stay out of the way. Let them go ahead. There's precious little enough accomplished now about blocking somebody that God is using. Say amen. Aaron's rod budded. You know why? Because God wanted to point out who he had called to the high priesthood. And there was 11 more rods in there, but no bud. You don't, you'd be surprised what will happen to you if you get laid up in the tabernacle overnight. Like Aaron's rod was. I won't get laid up here in the tabernacle tonight. I'm feeling buds coming out on this old rod of mine already. Hallelujah. And after those buds came the blossoms. And after those blossoms came the almond fruit. And then everybody knew who was called to be high priest because almonds meant high priesthood. Pumpkins would have meant something else. Whatever your fruit is proves where you belong and what you're supposed to be doing. For it is God who worketh all in all. And if God gives us the result, Paul can plant and the Apollos can water, but it takes God to give the increase. Hallelujah. So if there's any increase at all, then you pretty well know you're in the right place in the Word of God. So, how many feel some buds coming out on you? Can you feel the quickening of the Spirit of God? You know what an old dead stick is? Something that used to be a live branch. It's time for resurrection. I remember Paul on the island of Miletus warming his hands over a barbarian fire. He says, my, you folks got a good fire going, but I'm used to more fire than this. I'm just used to more fire than this. He said, I'm going to be right back and we'll have a fire before I'm through. And he went out and collected a bunch of old dead sticks. They make a wonderful fire. What used to be a live branch, which is now a dead stick, makes a tremendous fire. How many is looking for a tremendous revival fire tonight? Well, the flames shot higher, and would you know that viper that had been able to hide in the heat up until now? Wondering why the preacher bends his ears, listening for a response. Amen, oh me, or oh my, one of them will fix you. Microphone's portable again tonight. We can come down and pick out the quiet spot and preach if we have to. I said, that viper that has been able to hide in the heat until now was flushed out by extraordinary heat. Greater flame. Much more fire. You know, if you have the right kind of revival, the devil can't hide there no more. I said, that viper has to come out of the heat. You have to expose himself, rear his ugly head, and guess who he came after, and guess who he bit. Oh, there were all kind of people standing around the fire. Well, he come right after the Apostle Paul. Isn't that interesting? Now, I wonder why the devil would do that. Paul was the one to turn the heat on him. Paul was the one that laid the extraordinary fire to him. And if you're wondering why you're having satanic attacks, you might have been whooping the devil this week. We preached the first night here how John the Baptist went to jail for righteousness' sake, not for sin, but because he told Herod he couldn't have his brother Philip's wife. Lots of times you will start upsetting the devil, he'll come after you, and he does not bother folks he's already got. They have looked out the window that morning and said, I've never realized this before, but Naboth's vineyard is hard by my palace. He's too close for comfort. I can't stand that righteous man next door. He tried to get him to give it up and trade it off and sell it out. But he wouldn't give up, trade off, nor sell out. How many won't do it? You start upsetting the devil, brother. He'll rear his head and he'll be after the one that's exposed him. But why Paul looked the old devil in the eye and said, boy, you don't scare me. Though the old viper was lashed to his wrist, and he just started shaking. And he shook that viper off into the flames, and he felt no harm. If you just take the shaking in the fire here tonight, the devil will come off your back and you won't feel a thing. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There was a bunch of people stood around and said, well, you know, we thought he was a man of God, but now we're convinced he's a devil. Well, he escaped the sea when it was impossible to escape such a storm. He must be a god. But now that the viper bit him, I guess he must be a wolf in sheep's clothing after all. Are you judging people by circumstances? Well, you know what happened? There was this woman, Sister Super Spiritual. You know her? Sister Super Spiritual. She stood up in the meeting and said, I told you so. He was a devil all the time. God showed me that years ago. How come he didn't tell us? Well, I knew all the time. I could have told you. Or if he wasn't a devil, wasn't a wolf in sheep's clothing, that wouldn't have happened to him. Did you know the next week, the same exact thing happened to her? You know what she got up and said? The devil's been after me all week. That's the same. Couldn't tell the difference between God's judgment or check and Satan's hindrance. Now, you can't go by outward appearance. God does not look upon outward appearance. He looks upon the heart. You can't go by your carnal mind. It'll defeat you every time. Oh, get rid of that natural mindedness and take an eraser and wipe the blackboard clean. Stay open. See if the mind of Christ does not condescend and come down and replace your natural reason. Hallelujah. Oh, we need his mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. Uzziah had done it all, and there was nothing left to do but be a priest, and he decides that he's going to go and be a priest. I want to show you tonight in tonight's message about doors and how they work. How they work. There are four aspects to the nature of doors. And whenever you hear somebody testifying or conversing or talking to you, they're always talking about how they would like God to open a particular door for them. Amen? So I think it's such a heavy subject, we ought to check it just a little tonight. In the life of four generations of Jewish kings, beginning with Uzziah, who was on the throne longer than anyone else, he had a door that was a presumptuous door. Okay, this is important to know. He had no business going through it, but he kicked it down, he strawed on in there. 81 priests were sitting to the head and said, it appertaineth not to thee, Uzziah, to offer incense upon this altar. God has called you to do this. He's called you to be a king. Why don't you be content with being a king and quit trying to change your ministry? Hallelujah. Same way of Aaron. The rod budded. The old dead stick was now alive. Just like Paul's fire. The dead stick was creating a great fire. Aaron's rod budded and blossomed. I know you've got buds coming out on you because you can feel the quickening of the Spirit of God, but why don't you blossom? Better still, why don't you produce some fruit? Some people are sitting here tonight in the blossoming stage. Oh, they look good. Blossoms are all over Minden this week. Dogwood blossoms, what's those other red azaleas? Why, it's just beautiful just to drive around heaven. It's only blossoms. We still can't tell what kind of fruit's going to be on that tree. Hallelujah. Blossoms, people start blossoming, they look good, and they look the part, and they smell good too. But they're still fruitless. And they will be continuing to be fruitless until the fruit appears and we find out what kind of fruit it is. Then we know where they belong and who they are and what they're supposed to be doing in the great body of Christ. Isn't that true? Uzziah had no business being in the tabernacle offering incense. God had priests for that. He was supposed to be on the throne judging in the affairs of material and physical mankind. But here he was, nothing left to do. Got to do something new. If you want to do something new, then grow deeper in God. Grow deeper in God. That's something new. It's new every day as you grow deeper in God. Now, anyone priests were notwithstanding so obsessed with this man. But God stopped him in a moment of time. He smote him in the head with the leprosy. And when he saw it, we looked in the mirror and we saw it. Yea, he himself hasted to go. Rather, he ran from that tabernacle. What 81 rugged men couldn't do, God did in a moment. I'm saying tonight that God can do more in 2 seconds than you can in a lifetime. You can work and slave all your life and build yourself a shack, but if you get out of God's way tonight, he'll build you a mansion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here he lives in a several house. That means a separated house. Then he was separated from his kingdom, from his people, from his throne, from his realm, from his leadership, his judgmentship. But he lost it all. And his son Jotham had to come and sit on the throne at a young age of 16 to take over his father's duties because dad was a leper. Amen. Oh, Isaiah had prophesied for 3 whole chapters before he was even called to the ministry. Or 5 whole chapters, rather. I said 3. For 5 chapters he'd been prophesying, but it wasn't until chapter 6 that God actually called him. And you know what caused the call? The most heart-rending thing that ever happened to Isaiah happened, and that created his ministry. Uzziah was his closest friend. He had prayed and prayed for him to no end. Uzziah never got healed, no matter how many times Isaiah prayed. As a matter of fact, he told Hezekiah one day that you're going to die, but they prayed, and Hezekiah prayed, and then he lived again and brought the sun back, 10 degrees on the sundial and all that. But as hard as he prayed for Uzziah, he couldn't heal him. And Uzziah died a leper in his own several house. And the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 6, that Isaiah's call, that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And I don't care what kind of a heart-rending heartache you're going through tonight, no matter what bereavement you have suffered, no matter how hard the battle or how deep the valley, in the death of it all, you're going to see Jesus. You'll see God in the thing. God will reveal himself in this trauma. Beautifully. It may have not turned out the way you wanted to. Maybe Uzziah died in his leprosy and died sick, never got healed to his death, and they had to bury him separate from all his kin. Maybe it's a disillusionment to you and to your ministry. But through all that you suffered, you will see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train will fill the temple. Above him were the seraphim, beneath him were the cherubim. With twain they covered the face, with twain they covered the feet, with twain they did fly. I'm talking about angels with 6 wings, not just 2. You wonder how many wings that some angels have got. These angels have 6. Say hallelujah. Are you hearing me? The Bible says that Uzziah was marvelously helped until he was strong. Would you like some marvelous help tonight? How many need some marvelous help? Well, for goodness sake, don't go getting so strong that you don't need Margaret's help no more. You get so strong in your own conceits. You can get so capable in your own abilities that Margaret's help just won't touch you or help you or contact you or can't do nothing for you no more. Marvelously helped until he was strong. Well, I don't want to be that strong. Just leave me just weak enough that I need marvelous help every day of my life, and I'll see the miracle working power of God every day of my life. Hallelujah. And when as strong as man was, this is up to his destruction. So don't go getting too strong. That means another way of saying, don't go getting too big for your britches. God knows how to take everybody down and buttonhole lower. Isn't that right? Oh, glory to God. I do love him. Marvelously helped until he was strong. Are you happy? Now I'm looking. I see Uzziah. And he's died a leper. And just because he walked through a door, he had no business going through. It was presumption, my friend. It was not the leading of God. It was not the command of God. It was not the will of God. Just, there's a door. Let's just presume through it like a bull in a china shop. Fools rush in our angels, spirit tree. Someone said, "Now, brother, I had a reoccurring symptom the next day." Well, what else is new? I suppose next you're going to try and tell me that's a relapse. Don't you know the difference between a relapse and a test? How many ever made it from the third to the fourth grade? How'd you ever do it? You were tested. That's how you did it. And if you hadn't passed your test, you'd still be in the third grade. Why? Nobody's any good to God if they don't get tested. Oh, brother, I felt a pain. Well, why don't you do what the Bible says and resist the devil who flee from you? Why don't you overcome? Why don't you rebuke the thing? Why don't you claim your healing? Everything God ever did was instant and progressive. There were two Pentecostal denominations I knew that split over the doctrine of whether sanctification was an instant work of God or a progressive work of God. That's true. I come to find out they're both right.
Hallelujah.
Because you got to get it, and that's instant. And then you got to keep it, that's progressive.
Hello.
Everything God ever did was instant and progressive. Why, there are nine gifts of the Spirit, not eight. Two of those gifts is the working of miracles, which is instant work of God, and the gift of healing, which is gradual and progressive restoration of God. God can do it in a moment, or he can take his time. You had to get saved one day. Did you really get saved? Was it an instant work? Well, did you have to stay saved after you really got saved? Then it was a progressive work. Did you ever get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues? Did it definitely happen to you? Instantly? In one instant, did it occur? Well, did you have to stay filled with the Holy Ghost? Did Paul say, "I speak in tongues more than you all, I speak in tongues every day, forbid not to speak in tongues"? Did he not say that? Did you ever get healed? Did it really take? Did it really happen? Did you have to keep it? Did the devil come alongside to rob it from me? Did you have to hang on to it? And that makes healing also progressive. You got to get it, and you got to keep it. Yes, sir. And progressive. Thank God. So I'm happy. Here is the old Uzziah marvelously helped to restore, walking through a presumptuous door. No business going through it, this first door. But there he was, just headed on in. No inkling, no leading, no particular word. Just bored, needing something to do. Hence, we have a presumptuous door. Do you hope that God opens some doors in your life? Well, pass your test. You don't want to stay in the third grade. Hallelujah. Did you know that you're going to get the test again if you don't pass it? No matter how many times you fail that test, that teacher's going to come and say, "Here's that test. You're going to take it again."
Hello.
And then if you fail enough tests, you will repeat the year. And I see by the gray in some of your heads that you have no more years to repeat or to lose. Hallelujah. Some said, you know, I used to have the victory over this old tobacco, but got nervous one day and had to go back to it, and I guess God understands. Yeah, he understands you failed your test. Guess what? Even you that never were delivered from it, every time you pick up a cigarette, you're being tested again. And every time you smoke it, you flunk your test. Hello? Getting kind of quiet in here. Nicotine was an Indian weed. 'Twas the devil that sowed the seed. Robs your pocket and stinks your clothes, makes a chimney of your nose. Little fella told me, he said, Brother Freddy, I've been smoking these things now for 13 years. I said, you never smoked it in your life. The cigarette did all the smoking. And all you turned out to be was a sucker. Hallelujah. Is that right? Every time you're tested and tempted and led astray by your own lust and you succumb to it, you have failed the test, you will get the test again. Every day you'll be tempted again by that old cigarette. And you will be tempted. I'll tell you, kick it, whip it, crush it, beat it, become the master instead of the slave. As long as you can't overcome it, you're the slave, and it's taking your money, it's taking your health, it's taking your soul. Hallelujah. It's taking all this from you, and you serve it. You have to work for it. You have to sweat and earn it and pay for it. Every effort involved in it, you have to stop your work and have another one because you're bound and you're a servant. Slaves are usually in chains. That includes chain smokers. Hallelujah. Is that right? You've got to overcome and pass the test, and then, of course, you're in the fourth grade, and you then will be tested on another point. But when you pass your test, you can move up to the fifth grade. I want to go somewhere in God myself. I want to graduate. I want to make heaven. Hallelujah. I can't spend my whole life in the third grade. I got to pass my test to graduate. A presumptuous door. And through it, Uzziah went. And I want you to know that one of the doors in your experience and in your life will be presumptuous. Be careful. Now, Joseph, his son, is on the throne, second generation. And the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father did that was right, Uzziah. However, although he lived righteous and he died righteous, and they buried him with a righteous king, still the Bible says that he never darkened the house of God's door all the days of his life. He never went to church. He stayed away from the temple. He stayed gone. Amen. He would not go to the house of God. He entered not into the temple. And guess what? The Bible also said in that verse that the people did yet corruptly. Hence enters a new aspect. First we have Joseph, the son. He will not go to church because of what happened to Daddy. Daddy got hurt in church, see. God smote him with leprosy. Well, Daddy got hurt in church, it's Daddy's own fault. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. My God is a consuming fire. He's not playing in church here tonight. God is serious about his business. Whoa, go away. Ananias and Sapphira gave the wrong offering. And they carried him out to the morgue. Uzziah thought he'd help God balance himself and take care of God's business. God don't need any balancing. God's not going to fall and shatter. When he cuts the ark, he does that. He drops dead upon the spot. Men from that finish went looking to the ark unsanctified. For tremendously. And when they looked, they were smitten by the thousands. Just because that ark was under the curtains didn't mean that it had lost one bit of its power. Had no business even being looked upon. A high priest once a year could look upon it, and that not without blood for himself and for Israel. And here's all these men, oh, so glad to have the art back. Don't you take anything for granted now. The minute you start becoming bored with miracles, and miracles become an old story to you, you'll never see them all. And when you do see miracles, you're more responsible than you were before. You're accountable to God. Unto whom God gives much, he expects much. If he fails, he shall be beaten with many stripes. Unto whom God gives little, he expects little. And if he fails, he shall be beaten with few stripes. Don't ask me how hell is hotter in some corners than others. But it is. Hallelujah. Yes, Dad's a hurting church. I'm not going to go back to church. No, I can live righteous here at home. I can be a holy roller Sunday morning and roll over and turn off the alarm clock. I can turn on the old boot tube and have bedside assembly right here in my bedroom. Getting quiet in here. Hallelujah. Why should I go to the church? Why, my father got hurt in church, and I'm not ever going to go back to church. Besides, I knew a drunk that made an altar out of the stuff. Well, you can reach God anywhere. Sure. I mean, here is old Joseph. He lived righteous, and he died righteous. I don't think he has to go to church to be saved. We're not talking about getting saved by the skinny teeth now. There is no skin on your teeth if you check. How old are you? We're not talking about getting saved if all your works burned up. All your works perish and you just barely get your soul saved. Barely make it in. Joseph was righteous and he died righteous and he wouldn't go to church and he just thought he didn't have to because what happened to daddy? So he boycotted the house of God and it's called a door of boycott, a boycotted door. God has opened doors for some of you, and we're preaching tonight on the nature of doors. The nature of this door is that God has given you a door that you will not go through, nor have the gall or the courage or the backbone or the faith to walk through, and you just veer away from it, you boycott it, turn your back on it, and stay away from a door you know you ought to be going to. It may not send you to hell, but it'll certainly reduce you down to thin pickings. Now, here's the worst problem. The last of the birds said, though Joseph died righteous, yet the people did corruptly. You know people watching you? You know you're a living epistle known and read of all men? You know that what you are speaks aloud, we can't hear a word you say? You know that people that are living in glass houses better not be throwing no stones? Eutychus was sitting in a window one time, sort of like a glass house. We couldn't hear too much from him, you know. You can see people through a window, but you can't really hear them. Hallelujah. It was midnight when Paul was preaching. He preached late to midnight, and at midnight of all times, to fall asleep. I mean, heaven fought the split second of midnight right now. This is no time to sleep. Awake out of sleep and rise from the dead. Christ is your life. Well, you know, the old boy had been more in than he was out. He'd have fell in the window. He wouldn't have fell out the window. But he fell out the window. That means he was more out than he was in. If you get more in tonight with the preacher and with the Word of God, you can fall in line with the Word and you won't fall out with the preacher. I said, you better get in more than you are out. Now, Joseph wasn't in at all. He wouldn't go. He said, we ain't walked through the church door. The temple was boycotted as far as he's concerned, and all the people watching him sinned and did corruptly. Well, Richard, you don't have to go to church. Why should I have to go to church? If you do not set a better example, people are going to sin worse and worse. If you set a better example, they'll cut back on at least some of their sin. Is that right? It'll bother them to have you around them. They might gnash their teeth and hate and be jealous and resent, but they really, really wish they had what you had. That's true. The people did corruptly because they didn't go to church. Now, you raise up a bunch of kids and won't go to church. And what makes you think they're going to know anything about God? Never take them to Sunday school, not even send them to Sunday school. How are they going to know anything about the gospel? They'll know nothing. They'll be sinners and be steeped in it and not even care or even know that they are a sinner. They'll do corruptly and think they're all right. Why? Because you know better. You learn from daddy. You live righteous because of your father's experience. And you went to church with daddy until he got hurt in church. Well, daddy got hurt in church. That's just his tough luck. That he shouldn't have been doing things where God had to hurt him. So, amen. But he rubbed off on you, and you made it all right, but you wouldn't go to church. If you don't go to church for no other reason, go for your kids' sake. Go and set an example for the children, because if you don't, they're going to feel it's unnecessary because you are a living example. It's a show and tell sort of experience. You are an illustration, an illustrated sermon to them. And if you don't go, of course, they're not going to go. They will not think it's necessary. They will know nothing. They will be corrupt. Now, I'll show you how corrupt they got. The third generation, Ahab. Lord of mercy. Granddad could hurt the church. Dad wouldn't go to church. Here I am, corrupt, because I know nothing, because he lived righteous, but he never taught me anything, because you can't learn anything, really, outside of church. Where all people of faith come together, you learn a lot. Now he says, well, here I am, so they have, I don't think that that door to that temple ought to even be open. I think I'll lock it. And he shut it up, and he barred it, and he nailed it, and he sealed it, and before he even shut the door, he went in and cut up all the vessels of the house of God. We got awful cutting up these days. We got a lot of other people that are tearing up some of God's vessels. Sticking their knives in their fifth rib, those folks being used of God. Why, Simon Peter been with Jesus for 3.5 years, ministering, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, saving the lost. Oh my. And then just before Jesus went to Calvary there, on that last supper night, he said, Peter, come here. Got something to tell you. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. Of course, that's nothing new. He wants everybody to save. He's lost his chance. He wants you to lose yours. Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, when you finally get saved. Hey now, this man been a preacher for 3.5 years. Kind of like Isaiah had been a prophet for 5 chapters. He said, when you finally get saved, strengthen your brother. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Now, when people really and truly get saved, not lip service, not just testimony service, by looking at the almond fruit on your old limbs. When you really get saved, you know how we can tell it? By the way you strengthen your brother and your sisters. As long as you're jerking the rug off them underneath them, double crossing them, talking about them, chewing the fat concerning them, knife them in the back, you yet need to get converted. Because you won't be converted until you strengthen your brother. That's what Jesus tells Peter. Now, is that all right with you? And Jesus says, is that all right for us too? Say hallelujah. Well, here they are. He goes to cutting up and cutting the vessels and stabbing folks, or vessels rather. Vessels of type of people being used to God. The temple door is barred and they lost it. Forget that, we don't even need church. Now he can blame his daddy, and he can blame his granddaddy, or he could blame himself. It can go in a lot of directions. Right now we can blame a lot of people. But when it comes right down to brass tacks and the final analysis, the bottom line is when we stand before the throne of God, nobody can be used for an excuse. It'll be just you and God, one on one. That's all. Well, you won't be able to, he did it or she did it or someone else. You like to wring the neck of the one that caused this to happen, yes. But it's going to be between you and God, and you will answer. No one will take your place and answer for you. The only way that you can have your place being taken is if you believe on Jesus tonight and ask him to forgive your sin. He will take your place. Say hallelujah.
That's the only way you're ever going to get out of the mess that you were born in. Let alone this mess you've done since you've been born. Say amen. Born once and you will die twice. The lake of fire is the second death. Get born twice and you may not even have to die once. Jesus is on his way. Hallelujah. I never asked to get born the first time. I was just born in this world. I had nothing to say about it, but I'm glad I had to ask to get born the second time. Hallelujah. And it's not going to zap you accidentally either. It's according to your will. You're going to have to make an effort and do something. The best way to go to hell is do absolutely nothing. You'll be there. Drift on and coast on. But if you ever make heaven, you'll have to do something. You'll have to repent and believe, which is the first two key words of the very first step of eternal salvation. You know, it's not he that got saved last night. It's he that endureth unto the end. The same shall be saved. There's a lot of folks started and finished already. There's some folks got a slow start, but they're still going on. And in the final day, it's he that walks the last mile of the way, that is that portion of the highway that passes between the pearly gates. I'm really safe when I'm in there and lock the pearls behind me. Are you hearing me? In other words, don't let up with these doors that are in your life. There's a presumptuous door. You can just blunder around in it and get yourself in trouble. There's a boycotted door, a door that you know you should be attending to, but you are putting it off. Cares of life, married a wife, bought 5 yoke oxen, bought a parcel of ground. And then there's this door that's shut, locked, and it may not necessarily have been God that shut it. You may have shut it yourself.
Say hallelujah.
Now the Bible teaches in Revelation that it is he who openeth and no man shutteth, and he shutteth and no man openeth. That means if God opens the door, there's not enough power to close it on you. The only power that keeps you out of it is your faith to fail you, your nerve to fail you, your confidence in God himself will fail you. You may not go through it. And if God shuts it, you're just beating your head against the wall, can't open it. Would you like to find the dead center of the perfect will of God for your life? Would you? First of all, he told the leper on the mountain, said, I will be thou clean. Is it your will to heal me? I will be thou clean. Now that speaks of healing and of salvation. For you see, if you're clean, the Spirit of God can come in your life. That Spirit of God, once in your life, will lead and guide you into all truth every step of the way, every day. Thus you will be led on a continuous basis into the perfect will of God. That's why he meant to be clean first, and you will have the will of God. I will. It's my will for you to be clean. Then, hence, you will know the will forever. The Spirit of God will make sure you know it. The will of God. Hallelujah. I will be well clean. Here is this particular situation with Ahaz. The will of God is also known by how the door is swing. If you will please go through the open door, do you believe that behind that door there will be another open door? Behind it will be another door. As long as you will walk through the open door and quit trying to knock down the shut door, you will find the will of God for your life. But there's no stopping place in God. You must continue traveling on, old Christian pilgrim, passing through. Get me?
Hallelujah.
So now, there are people that are still trying to knock the shut door open. It will not open, for he openeth and no man shutteth. He shutteth and no man openeth. Now we got this. We all have Ahaz locking the door. The door is now closed. If that wasn't bad enough, the grandson of Uzziah, who was hurt in church, the son of Jotham, who was boycotting church because daddy got hurt in church, he goes out to the mountains and starts setting up dumb idols and images and serving Baal. Hey, we're going from the frying pan to the fire here. This thing is falling apart and things real fast. Judgment is now falling to the third generation. And what about the fourth generation? The Bible says he visits the fathers, the iniquities of the fathers unto the third
or the fourth generation, the third and the fourth. As though there is a possibility that between the third and the fourth generation, things can straighten out. It doesn't necessarily have to go all the way to the fourth. Brother, if God gives me just one inch of space to repent, how many wants to do it? Hallelujah. If there's just the slightest chance of getting back, how many wants to try it? If there's just the slightest possibility of turning the tide, don't you want to reach out and speculate at least? So this is what's happened here. Is a man hurt in church? A son that is stays away from church? And now a grandson that, I'm going to lock the door of the church and cut up everybody in the church and go out and serve the devil. I mean, this is getting worse. At least Jotham didn't serve the devil. The people did, but Jotham didn't. Now your own son, along with the people, are doing corruptly. You cannot bypass the church of the living God. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of the living God. Jesus said that upon this foundation, upon this rock, with the confession of who I am, shall be based my church. And he has come to love the church and to give himself for that he may sanctify and cleanse it for the washing of water by the world, the word. And the church, of course, is his bride. And you see the people. And you will follow Jacob out there to Peniel, where he saw the ladder of the heaven. And the next day, he woke up and said, Lord of mercy, God was in that place last night and I didn't even know it. Don't go home tonight and wake up in the morning and say, you know, God was in that church last night and I didn't even know it. He said, I'll call that place Bethel, which means the house of God, which means the gate to heaven. The house of God is the gate to heaven. That's what Jacob said. Now, if the church is the house of God, and if the house of God is the gate to heaven, and you're expecting to go to heaven, then you may have to go to church. I mean, you can't get into heaven no other way than through the door or through the gate. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Jesus, as a matter of fact, said, if you try to climb up some other way, you're a thief and a robber. You can't go in. I'm just telling you the importance, Uzziah, of not just blundering in church. I'm telling you the importance, Joseph, of not just staying away from church thinking you can make it without church. I'm telling you the importance they have of not cutting up the vessels and slamming and locking the door of the church and going out there carousing and serving the devil on every high hill. Maybe your granddad didn't get healed before he died. Maybe your father never went to church, but he was at least righteous. Now here you are, he has out there just struck the fool.
Hallelujah.
Well, this thing's got to stop somehow, and somehow God will turn the tide that takes a righteous man who will believe him. Hezekiah, the great grandson, was born, and when he came to the throne, the very first thing he did, the first day, the first month of the first year of his new reign king, he must have been planning on doing it. He went straight to the temple and unlocked the doors and unbarred the doors and kicked down the door if he had to. But he opened up the door to the house of God, and the scripture says he then repaired the temple. Do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? If any man defile the temple, here's your God destroy it. Somebody don't know why they're dying of lung cancer. Well, you're defiling the temple and God is killing it. Well, God's a killer. I know he's a savior, but he's a killer too. When folks start messing with God, whole nations die overnight. He sent one angel with one sword and slew 180,000 Assyrians on the battlefield all overnight. In a moment, we're all corpses. When the homosexuals started cutting up the sodom, he zapped them with fire and burnt them instantly to a crisp. At least he's letting them have AIDS today. They may never live because what you sow, you reap. But God can forgive if people take time and opportunity to repent when he gives you space to repent and time to repent. God's like a dog, he's merciful. But God's not going to put up with his foolishness forever. He talks about judgment, it's going to start the house of God. And this time they didn't hear church, where's the sin on the ungodly man going to appear?
if the righteous scarcely would be saved, where's the sinner going to show up?
Hallelujah.
There's a sifting going on, and I believe very soon now the men will be separated from the boys.
Hallelujah. Women from the girls.
Yet Hezekiah opens the house of God. He opens the door to the temple of God and repairs the house of God. Your body is the greatest temple I know of. The Holy Ghost lives in this. This is a heavenly treasure and an earthen vessel. I say it's time for you now to open up your doors. Come on, temple. Open up your door. I see some of you that's in need of repairs. There'll be no reparation, no preparedness or repairing in the temple until the door is open. You got to get to the door first. Well, lift up your head, all you get. Be lifted up the everlasting door. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. He's here to repair you tonight. He wants to make you new. He wants to make your body whole. I look out over this congregation. I see already a bunch of temples in need of repair. You're not having any repairs made on you tonight until you get your doors open, get your heart open, get your mind open, get your faith open, get your courage open. We'll get into that work. I'll get into the gospel, turn loose that faith that God requires tonight. Get open up here because God is about to repair. All that for three generations has been on the decline. It's time to turn it around and start on the incline. Hallelujah. Oh yes, Hezekiah was tested, but he kept a Passover. He cleansed the temple. He cleaned house. He had a great revival. He read the book. He did everything he could to turn back God's wrath. But it was all done. And he was spared and saved Israel. Then the devil come along and try to attack you. That angel I told you about a minute ago came that night and slew the Assyrians. 180,000 were dead. When the Assyrians had wiped Israel away, carried them away 100 years ago, they were going to come down and do the same thing to Judah. But not so. The temple was in better shape these days. Church was operating these days. They were having church these days. Well, nobody running around trying to do the wrong thing in church, wildfire and out of order. God had cleaned that out. There wasn't anybody out there staying away from church no more because they were scared what might happen to them if they went to church. There wasn't nobody in his dastardly deeds going around cutting up vessels of the house of God, locking the doors and breaking out the windows and going out and serving the devil. There was a man on the throne now that in the very first moment he took command. He opened up the doors and repaired the temple, had revival, kept Passover, read the book, who made sacrifices, and was having such a move of God that when the Assyrians showed up, God sent an angel and zapped every one of them. That was the pressure from outside. Then came the pressure from within. Hezekiah took sick unto death. Brother, the devil don't win one way, he'll try another. Just because you get delivered here tonight, I can't promise you he's going to leave you alone. I can't promise you that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I can't promise you that men are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Maybe all not instantly, but progressively, they will all be there. He's going to heal his whole church for your raptures. But if you mean it, I mean there'll be no blind eyes and deaf ears and cancers in heaven. I mean, you can't even leave this world without a new body. And when you get that new body, you'll be totally healed. There'll never be another ache or pain or suffering all the days of your existence. Oh, I want it. I'm trying to quit. I can't find the stop button. Oh, hallelujah. Ah, blessed be God. Set thy house in order, thou shalt die and not live.
Oh, preacher, couldn't you have said thou shalt live and not die?
Could have, but God didn't say that. You have to take it God's way. But Hezekiah never doubted the word of the prophet Isaiah. He said, all right, I'll set my house in order, but I'm going to pray first. He turned his face to the wall. He said, God, you remember how I've called on your name and done righteous and turned this kingdom around. Give me a little more time. Before Isaiah could get out of the middle court, God stopped him, turned him around, said, go on back in there. Tell Hezekiah, I have heard thy prayers, I've seen thy tears. Behold, I add unto thy life 15 years. Oh, shout out about that. Oh, glory.
Don't take God all night to do something. Prayer changes things. You get served by God, God can move in your behalf in a moment of time. What sign am I going to have, said Hezekiah, that I shall go up to the door of the temple of the house of God and worship the Almighty?
I'll give you a test sign, said Isaiah.
You want the sun to go back and your daddy's sun down or forward? Well, it's going to go forward anyhow. Bring it back.
All right. You know God doesn't waste the sundial.
Daddy Ahaz was such a wicked sinner. Locked the door, tore up the vessels of the house of God, went out in the hills and served the devil. One day, Isaiah, this is amazing, Isaiah prophesied on the lives of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He lasted for four generations in his ministry.
Man, wouldn't you like to live like that? You want to live in the Spirit and live righteous, you can live that way. You can live like that.
Here came men. Generations came to him, and the old prophet of God was just the same, just plodding on.
He was serving his generation and three more to go with it. The whole four I've covered tonight.
He asked Ahaz one day in his hypocrisy and sin. Ahaz, if you ask God for a sign in your sundial, God will give you one. Ahaz said, I'm not going to ask God for a sign. No,
you hypocrite, said Isaiah the prophet.
Isn't it a light saying that you're going to tempt men? You're going to tempt God too? When God asks you to ask for a sign, you can open your mouth and ask for one more.
No, I don't want to. What he was trying to say was, I'm a sinner and a hypocrite, and I'm scared to ask God for a sign because he's not disaster or spill the beans on me and expose me.
That's what he's trying to say. And you know what he says? I'm not going to take God. We are tempting God, but not asking. When signs and wonders and miracles are attesting to a Holy Ghost revival, you better open your mouth and ask wisely and receive. Don't sit there.
Well, I don't want to ask God. What you're trying to say is, please, Lord, Lord, don't let the preacher pray for me. Don't worry, honey, God will answer your prayers. He's here tonight to answer prayer.
What if that preacher prays for me? I know the skeletons are going to come out of my closet. Friends, if a boycott the meeting and keep you out of this meeting, it'll keep you out of heaven.
Think about that.
Hallelujah. I'm not going to ask God for it. You know what Isaiah said they had, that wicked daddy of Hezekiah? He said, all right, boy, you want to ask God for a sign?
God will give you a sign now. Whether you like it or not, but you're still going to get a sign. You should ask for one. Now you're going to get one straight from the throne of God.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and there will come, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel.
And he's going to save us and call us by the King.
You can't stop God from working signs, wonders, and miracles. You don't want to stop your sign? He gives you one in town. Hallelujah.
I'll pray all around you.
Thank God, I'll be going to ask God. Ask and seek time. Knock and tell me open on to you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You want to get that sundown out and ask God for sign. You cry out and you'll bring the sun back in the universe. You reverse every gear of the universe and pull that sun back 10 degrees. Prove it to you that the door to the house of God is open. Get yourself to the temple. What sign will I have that I'm going to go back to church and be healed? Oh, said Hezekiah, your old daddy wouldn't use that sundial, but anybody that wants to open his mouth and ask can have a sign in the sundial. He wouldn't ask God for a sign, God would give him a sign anyhow. But you're asking God for signs, so it's going to be a lot more personal to you. The sun's coming back 10 degrees, showing that I'm taking you back in time. I'm taking you back before the old boil ever struck you. Now you will, because of that sign, go to the temple and you will be healed. Thank God. Don't waste the sundial here tonight. Maybe Daddy wouldn't use the sundial, but God don't waste the sundial. You can just go ahead and ask God for your sign, and it'll be personal to you.
I'm through preaching. Tonight I preach on the presumptuous door, the boycotted door, the locked door, and now finally the open door. That open door is going to give your temple a few repairs. Can your temple stand some repairs tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Thank God. If you've had trouble with doors and the doors are boycotted, if the doors have been locked in your face, if the doors have been presumptuous, you've been out in left field of all the night. Everyone that wants an open door for your future, an open door in your soul. I want to pray for your soul first. Would you stand again and let's get the door straightened out in your life? Let's get the will of God straightened out in your life and in your spirit. Hallelujah. Put your hand high now. Let's pray. Ooh, God give them a sign. They're ready to ask. They're ready to receive. Ooh, open the door. Hallelujah. Repair that temple. Even now. Give them an open door. Forgive them if they've been presumptuous. Oh, God, forgive them if they turn their back and boycott your door. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, if they locked it out of spite or out of indifference, forgive them again. And Lord, let them receive an open door. Behold, I set before you tonight an open door. Walk ye in. Hallelujah. A door of effectual utterance that is open before me. Pray my speed and stand in God's all time. Hallelujah to God. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. You are the man we call from the Lord graciously. Hallelujah. Hey, I feel the doors open. Can you feel the windows of heaven are open? Is there a door open in heaven? You will come up higher, and out of the spout of the glory comes out. Oh, Lord, it doesn't pour down. Come on, I think that when it's in, and doors of heaven are open. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Oh, glory. How many feel God's done work in your soul tonight? I have to pray this prayer first. If I can get you inside, thank God I won't have no trouble with you outside. The man whose heart is right and his soul is bright has no problem receiving the miracle of God. Jesus will heal a sinner and say, sin no more. That's the worst thing to come on. But he won't give a sinner the Holy Ghost. You've got to get cleaned up first. Hallelujah. You've got to get saved and then out of the blood and blood, water, and then oil. Hallelujah. Thank God for the anointing coming down. The doors are open. Have you felt your soul been repaired tonight? You open the door, and God did the repairs. It was that simple. Oh, I feel the sun coming back on the phone now. Some of your souls have been broken down, a little bit warped, a little bit blemished, but now you've had your repairs tonight. Aren't you glad in the fourth generation, God turned the tide of judgment? Hallelujah. I believe you're standing figuratively speaking in the fourth generation and in the fourth dimension. I said, you're in the fourth dimension, on the fourth generation. God has turned the tide away from you for evil, and he has set good your way because you've repented and you have believed him. Oh, I love him, don't you? Go ahead and thank God. All right, early, and we're going to... I really wanted to start praying before this, but I just couldn't. You had to have this message. I don't apologize for taking the extra 15 minutes I wasn't going to take, but there's a reason I did it. You needed it. Hallelujah. Now we got all the doors straightened out in your life. We're going to proceed and pray a few more prayers here tonight as God directs and leads us. Okay? Thank God. Let Brother O'Man in the blue come and be the first. I'm going to start with a man tonight. Hallelujah. You folks stay on your feet a few more moments and then we'll let you sit down. You don't mind being first, do you?
No, sir.
Not if you're going to be healed. And you do want to be healed.
Yes, sir.
Raise your antenna, something will strike there. Hallelujah. We could have started this at 7:30, but you weren't ready for it at 7:30. We have to preach the word for foundation because God can only confirm his word. Oh, we could pray for you and God would have healed you and you'd stay healed 3 or 4 weeks. Then you'd be looking the preacher up, trying to hang you. For your own sake, for your own good. There's an old saying, Father knows best.
Hallelujah. For your own good, we laid the word on you so that when you're healed tonight, you'll keep it forever. It'll be a permanent word. You really want God to heal your body physically?
Yes, sir.
I'll pray for you as I'm led. First of all, in your neck, you've been stiff right here.
Yes, sir.
God's going to heal that from your neck. Glory to God. That's arthritis.
Yes, sir.
You have it almost all over your body.
Yes, sir.
Take a step of faith with me.
Hallelujah.
You want me to pray for everything? You have eyes strained. Bob, as you read it.
Yes.
Your blood pressure moves slightly high. It goes up on you.
Yes, sir.
You're a little hard of hearing. Just a slight bit of dullness will creep into your ears.
Yes.
You have a spot that comes through your stomach. You hear it kind of burning sensation.
Yes, sir.
It's like an old ulcer might feel.
Yes, sir.
I'm speaking you the truth?
Yes, sir.
The thing that concerns you the most tonight is this arthritis.
Yes, sir.
It's gone.
Listen! God specializes in things that are impossible. Hallelujah. Oh my.
Hang in there. Brother, start swinging your neck now and see if it's stiff. It's a little sore, but no stiff. Turn around and touch your toes, checking your back. Well, you're going to go farther. You never could do that?
No, sir.
You just did it. It won't be hard this time. Let the devil see you do it once. So much for arthritis of the spine. Burning or soreness in the stomach. Did your ears seem like they come a little clearer, a little louder, a little more open in the hearing?
Yes.
Well, I can't hardly tell you how to test these eyes. I don't know how to go about it, but they're not burning any.
No.
Turn and look at the friendly folks. They're waving at us. They've brightened a little.
I see everyone.
Do you believe the blood pressure is down at home?
Yes, sir. Yes, I believe it
is. Go back, check your neck now.
A little bit on the left side.
Yeah.
First thing God talked about, the last thing He healed.
Well, who can tell God what to do? The left side. And the shoulder.
Well, it's working its way. It's not even in the neck no more. Take it out of the shoulder. There it goes.
How's that?
Yes.
You gonna keep your healing?
Yes, sir. Keep it. Don't let the devil rock you. Oh, Lord.
God will for him. Why won't he do it for you? God is no respecter of
parts of the body. Hallelujah. Sister on the AM, come. God's touching you now. And everyone said he is. Hallelujah. Amen.
You believe God will hear you. You have, first of all, there's little pressure forms in your head. And in your head, that's true?
Yes.
God shall heal your head. You go on your nerve a lot, your nerves, Bobby.
Yes.
You have a drainage in the throat. And here. You've had a sort of a gastric attack that comes from the lower abdomen. It's going to leave you. There are people in your family, ladies, old ladies in your family, have had kidney weakness and bladder weakness.
Yes. Yes.
You have it by hereditary. God's going to heal you. As of yet, I'm not afraid for the main thing you need tonight. The important thing you need is God wants to heal your eyes. Has a cataract kind of form in your eye?
Yes.
It's trying to form in your right eye.
Yes.
Put your hands up, God, peel it. That's the main thing you're trying to do for now. Hallelujah!
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Look! That pressure and soap. Nice!
Now, we curse you. Heal and die and perish and dissolve and disappear and disintegrate. Lord, we got it. I didn't see the cataract. Yes, gentlemen, I can understand it. Another world over here tonight. Whoa! Hallelujah! I find out in a minute, won't we? Bible says to prove all things. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You feel that, are you, sister? No, she's still translating. I can't get to her. I'll get to her in a minute. Raise your hands. God's going to touch you. You want to be healed.
Indeed.
First of all, there's something that chases you through your chest here, across the breathing of your chest. God's going to pump that up and give you good wind again, okay? Everyone says, thank God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. You go on your nerve a lot, your nerves are going to be made new. You're going to get off your nerve. Now, just receive this as God wants to give it to you. Something more serious affects you through here, through the air of the stomach. God's going to do something about the stomach now. Hallelujah. Had to do with the digestion and the blockages thereof, so clear. Thank God. Everyone said amen. Hallelujah to God.
There's a strain in here, and lower abdomen strain in the muscles.
God removes it from you. It's going to go.
Thank you, God. Give these muscles.
Oh, thank God. Now, God is generally overhauling this man here. That's what's happening to him. Everyone, thank God for the whole body. Now, both big and small, God has done it all. Hallelujah.
There's still a few little incidentals that we could have prayed for.
That's right. Hallelujah. We could pray for.
Blood pressure is one of them.
It's healed. Now, if I pray for one thing, you would only get one thing. But we're only going to get what we pray for. Yes, sir.
Yes. That little sinus blockage goes through there, too. It's clear.
Thank the Lord.
Someone said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Praying around your afflictions, and yes, you have a ministry that God wants you in. The prayer ministry and a personal working ministry.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This ministry is in prayer. As you are affected in prayer, you will be affected in one-on-one dealing with individuals. Pray for them. They will come to you by faith. They will come to you by name. And as you pray, you will pray for them, and then you will go after them. Okay? Is that a deal?
Indeed.
Alright? God's going to use you this way. And you're going to be praying, first of all, for Donald. Donald. You're going to pray for Donald. And then God will give you someone else to pray for.
Hallelujah.
And it'll be.
It'll be. Glory to God. Everyone says, thank God.
Are you happy? Say, I love you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. I'm happy. Love of Russia.
Yes, he'll give you someone else to pray for. You're going to live.
You're going to live. You're not going to die.
Hallelujah.
Everyone's going to love you, Lord.
What did you think of that prayer? Was that okay?
That was marvelous.
That was marvelous.
That's beautiful.
You want God to heal you too? Raise your hand. Look upon me. You've had poor circulation in your body, right? A warm heat is passing through you now. You feel that? That's a sign of blood healed, blood transfusion, blood circulating. God. You two have had something in your throat they hear that's strange. You want to get rid of that.
Got it. Hallelujah.
You have something along your spine, along the vertebrae of your spine that are a little sore and sensitive. So, there's three things. Now, in case you think Brother Perry prays for too much, should I stop there or pray for it all?
Oh, well, we're going to stop, but she won't let me.
You
two
have a funny like trance coming across here. It comes more on the right side. God wants to remove that for you. It's like a knife.
Let's get it. There it goes. Hallelujah.
Knife to me means surgery. That's what it means. But you will not have it now. You've been spared it.
Everyone says, thank God.
There's nothing really wrong with your eyes, but since your blood's been slowing down, your eyes are blurred on you. That'll be healed when your blood is healed, and it's healed now. In your neck, too, you have a drawing that comes like tension.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone says,
bless God, the little sister. Hallelujah.
Could have prayed for one thing, but we've got to pray for it all.
Thank God it's done.
That everything mentioned and decreed come to pass, even tonight,
is received. Thank
you. I'm still not at rest in my spirit. I have another matter I want to deal with. It's like a sensitive place that is personal that comes into here, in the area of the breast. It will sometimes go on here for the armpit. Tender in the lymph gland. I want you to quit worrying about that. For 4 years now in our crusade, every breast condition revealed by the Spirit instantly dissolves. You are the recipient of that particular sign tonight. You're healed.
So we're going to have a third
person.
No, I did it.
I believe this. Listen to this, man. What did you say your name was again?
Don Bennett.
You are Donald.
Well, I need praying for.
Pray for yourself first.
And then pray for other folks. Say hello to you.
Come on, thank you. You're going to have to pray for yourself first. Isn't that right?
Hallelujah.
Well, you folks may be seated. That's just to come out. Be ready. sister, don't leave us. I want to check your eye. Hold your hand over your left eye and look out across the congregation here. And try to find the cloud or the spot that was a cataract in your right eye. Oh, everyone says praise the Lord. What can you find?
See?
You sure?
Well, I mean, everybody looks much farther.
You don't see a cataract or a cloud or a spot or a blob or a something black?
No, not really.
Well, she took her time and she was going to find it. She'd have found it by now. It really removed. Also, you would check the mirror when you get home and you'll find that physically the little matter is shrinking in your eye. That part for you is temporary or progressive. It's taken a little while for the actual little thing to die, but it's small already. But as far as the eye to you instantly. How old are you? You enjoying this? Has this not been a great week? Excuse me, I didn't mean to pass you, but I almost forgot about you. You been hoping that every night will be your night?
Yes. Yeah.
You mind if I start with something small first?
Yeah.
The open old sinus of this head. Inspect it now. Dragging you a long time. Is it clear yet?
Yes, sir.
Is it open?
Yes, sir.
How long had it been closed?
A long time.
Oh, so you did need to be here this time?
Yes.
Did you tell me that?
Yes, sir.
How did I know that?
The Lord told you.
Revelation continues. How old are you? Ah, yes. You want it all, though. You're getting hoggish. Well, I have to pray for several things, but I could stop her aside and go sit her down. What she'd be doing about the rest. If you do not pray specifically, we'll not receive specifically. You have drawn attention here, the man?
Yes.
You have? Check it out.
Stop.
Stop it about faith. Hallelujah. Well, your blood pressure went down, your sugar balance too. It's balanced down. Right. Well, if you don't believe it, see right there on top of your stomach, there's a little warm spot coming down. That's why I pray for your stomach. That's your pancreas.